You're listening to RNIB Connect Radio. Now, for many of us living with degenerative sight conditions, the prognosis is often not very good. But a new experimental therapy could change all that in the near future. A therapy that was actually laughed off as a ridiculous concept when it was first suggested. What am I talking about? Well, it's called gene therapy. And in October 2018, Professor Robert McLaren, a pioneer in the field, successfully completed the world's first gene therapy trial for one such condition called choroideremia as part of a largest late-stage trial ever for any genetic disease that had promising results. Now, what is gene therapy and what about the future of the therapy as a treatment? I'm joined now by Professor Robert McLaren. Hello.
Hello, how are you?
I'm well, thanks. Been a long time since we've spoken.
Yeah.
Now, in layman's terms, what actually is gene therapy?
Well, gene therapy, I guess, in the context of a treatment, is one that acts at the level of the DNA or the RNA. In other words, a treatment that's directed towards the genetic code that exists within all of us. When we take pills, you know, like antibiotics or any other kind of medication, for instance, blood pressure, those pills are absorbed into our body, and they kind of target the downstream effects of the disease process. If we understand a disease at the genetic level, and we know why some people have it because of a genetic problem, we can then potentially target the treatment towards the DNA or the RNA. And in theory, this should be much more effective because we're targeting the disease at its very origin.
Tell us about the trials last year then, because they were quite groundbreaking, weren't they?
Yeah, well, we've been working on gene therapy for two particular diseases that affect the eye. The choroideremia gene therapy is now in multiple trials around the world, now 11 different centres, in order to try and get the information we need to have it as an approved treatment by the FDA. The other gene therapy trial we're doing is for a condition known as X-linked retinitis pigmentosa, which, like choroideremia, also affects males. The X-linked retinitis pigmentosa is caused by a mutation in a gene known as RPGR, and probably of all causes of retinitis pigmentosa, this single gene has more impact than any other because it is quite prevalent and it is also very severe. So we're about to go into the late-stage trials for the X-linked retinitis pigmentosa as well. And just to put it in context, in both of these trials, we use a virus to carry the missing gene into the cells of the retina, which is the lining at the back of the eye that enables us to see. And those cells are missing an important part of the DNA that leads to either choroideremia or X-linked retinitis pigmentosa. And we put that missing bit of DNA into the virus, and then we use the virus to get the DNA into the cells. We have to do an operation on the eye where we detach the retina and inject the virus underneath the retina. Or, you know, I'm talking about virus. I'm talking really about billions of copies of the virus. The virus infects the cells, the DNA goes in, and hopefully that will then correct the genetic defect.
Does that change the actual makeup of the eye then, or do you have to do the treatment again at a later point?
Well, the gene therapy, it's designed to make the eye normal. I mean, yes, it does change it, but what it's doing is it's replacing a gene that should be there, you know, it's a missing gene. So it is a form of genetic modification, but it's to make the eye normal rather than enhance it or make it any different. Usually, the patients recover fully after gene therapy surgery, and, you know, assuming there are no complications, then they would go on and just carry on. And although we may notice small improvements in vision, which we quite often do after treatment, what we're really interested in is knowing if we can slow down or stop progressive loss of vision. And these trials, therefore, do take quite a long time because we need to analyse the patients over several years.
I was approached, Professor McLaren, because I've got a form of Stargardt's macular dystrophy.
Oh, yes.
And I was gene-tested recently, and I have two genetic problems in my cells. And so I'm my name's down, you know, I haven't been through the whole process yet for possible trials. But from my point of view, I don't know, there's questions. I mean, how safe is it as a therapy just now?
Well, it depends a lot on the kind of virus that you use. Stargardt is a particularly difficult disease because the gene is quite big. And it's too big to fit into the adeno-associated viral vector, or the otherwise known as AAV vector, which we commonly use in all the clinical trials in the eye at the moment. The FDA approved in 2017 a gene therapy treatment in the eye using the AAV vector to treat an early onset form of blindness called Leber congenital amaurosis. That was the first time the FDA approved any gene therapy for any disease. So it just highlights the fact that the first one, and so far the only one to be approved, is one that treating a retinal degeneration. It really highlights the long-term safety and efficacy of the AAV vector. In early gene therapy trials, some of the viruses used are quite inflammatory. And the one that's used currently in a trial for ABCA4, which is the Stargardt gene, has much more inflammation than the AAV vector. And even prior to that, another virus used is the common cold virus, again, the adenovirus, which also causes inflammation. So it's important to consider inflammation with the virus as a side effect of gene therapy. But we've made significant advances over the last 20 years, and a lot of the problems with inflammation that were experienced in the early stages of gene therapy are no longer of a concern for us at the moment. And apart from inflammation, it's relatively risk-free.
Now, I spoke to an expert in the field, it was a good few years ago now, but one of the risks that he brought up said that there was a risk in some of these treatments that the eye can turn cancerous. Is that actually a risk at all?
Well, it's certainly nothing that's been seen so far. But what you've got in terms of viruses, there are two types of gene therapy. There is one type of virus which actually inserts the DNA of the virus into the DNA of the cell, and we call that that kind of virus an integrating vector. The virus used in the current Stargardt gene therapy trials is one like that, so it actually cuts the DNA in the cell. The adeno-associated virus doesn't interfere at all with cellular DNA. It sets up an extra chromosome of DNA next to the cell's own DNA, and as a result, it doesn't interfere with the normal DNA in the cell. And that factor, together with the fact that the photoreceptor cells, the light-sensing cells, do not normally divide, means that the risk of getting a cancerous change are very, very, very low. I mean, nothing, of course, is 0%, but it's almost certain that other factors will be far more risky. But if you have gene therapy applied using an integrating virus, and you do that to cells which are dividing, like, for instance, the hematopoietic stem cells, which are used to treat some of the diseases that cause hemophilia, which is an absence of certain genes in blood cells, and you're treating cells that are actively dividing or cells which have immunodeficiency, then there is, of course, an increased risk of getting cancerous cells because these cells are dividing anyway, and then you're interfering with the DNA. But I'm pleased to say that in the eye, this is not really a problem that we are concerned about.
What about immune suppression? Is that necessary after a treatment like this?
Yes, I mean, in order to reduce the inflammation, we do apply inflammation, and that's indeed part of the process for the approved gene therapy treatment. This is over a temporary period, usually a few weeks around the time of surgery, just whilst the eye recovers to prevent any inflammation that might have a detrimental effect.
It's not a long-term thing then?
No, I mean, it would be a temporary thing. I mean, obviously, in some cases, if patients are susceptible to it, they may require a longer course. But generally, the inflammation is something which is treated on a sort of self-limiting basis.
Now, you've been involved with this right from the beginning. Do you feel that it's actually really picking up a pace now, this as a possible therapy?
Well, I do, because it isn't a possible therapy, it is a therapy. The FDA do not approve drugs lightly, and the fact that the only gene therapy treatment that they've approved, the first so far, is for treating a retinal degeneration, is extremely encouraging for all of us who work in the field. And it really validates all the work we've put into this area of research over the recent years. I started work in gene therapy around about 1995, and I've been working pretty much continuously during that time. And at the early stages, it was very difficult to convince people that it was going to be of any benefit. They just assumed that it was some wild idea of using a virus to correct DNA. But now we have an approved treatment, and we're using that approval to validate a lot of the other trials that we're doing in order to get treatments for other more common eye diseases, and possibly even age-related macular degeneration, and possibly even other diseases in the eye like glaucoma, and maybe even in the brain as well. There are all sorts of diseases that have a genetic predisposition. And now that we understand more about the potential of gene therapy, we're in a much, much stronger position to get funding and advocate clinical trials.
What kind of time frame do you think we're talking about, bearing in mind how quickly things have moved on recently?
Well, what we're seeing at the moment is probably we've got about maybe a dozen or so key clinical trials going on around the world for different types of eye disease. There'll be new ones approved. Obviously, we hope the choroideremia and X-linked retinitis pigmentosa gene therapies will be approved fairly soon, which will open up that treatment. And then there'll be others which will follow. One of the limitations we have with the AAV vector is the relatively small size of the gene that it can carry. So we need to be a little bit creative with some of the other diseases that we might treat with it. But the concept of delivering DNA into an eye or into a cell in the back of the eye and then have a long-lasting effect of that DNA, that concept is now proven beyond doubt. And that really does open the door to many other treatments that will invariably become available over the period of the next 5 to 10 years.
It must be really rewarding for you to be able to sort of offer hope to people who hitherto, if you had, you know, these diseases, at some point you're going to lose your sight.
Yes, it is. I mean, it's a wonderful area of research. And obviously, at the beginning, it's always frustrating because we have a system here where we have to apply for funding and we have to go to peer review. Invariably, very senior people who perhaps slightly fixed in their ways will be a little bit against anything novel in terms of recommending funding. But eventually, we have to get through that. I'm delighted to say that we have a wonderful relationship with our patients. We work very closely with everyone who's got the disease. And obviously, we're dependent upon them for volunteering, very courageously, I should say, to be in these first early clinical trials. And without their support, obviously, we wouldn't be able to get the treatment approved. We also need to engage with the regulatory bodies so that we kind of understand what they want. And by the word regulatory body, I mean people like the people in the FDA, the US Food and Drug Administration, the European Medicines Agency, and the United Kingdom MHRA. These are the regulatory authorities that decide when drugs are made legal or not. And gene therapy is a new thing for them too. You know, we're talking about getting them to approve a drug which is actually another organism that we've manufactured in the lab that potentially, could be infective. And so we need their guidance as well in terms of what they want to see us do so that we can make sure that when we make the virus, it's made to the standard required. All these are, you know, considerable hurdles, but ultimately, when you deal with patients who have got no treatment, who are going to go blind, who get the diagnosis young in life, it is very, very strong motivation for any researcher to do something and try and improve things for these people. And I'm just delighted to find myself now, after many years of work in this area, to be in a position where we actually do have something which will make a difference. And that, for me, is very, very exciting.
And you are looking for people, would you say, to put themselves forward for these kind of trials then?
Yes, we are very interested in anyone who has X-linked retinitis pigmentosa because we're currently expanding the trial. We're looking for people who would like to volunteer for the gene therapy. And also in the choroideremia program, we are very close to finishing the trial for the approval. And we hope that anyone who has choroideremia might be suitable for treatment once it's approved by NICE. Anyone with this disease should ideally have a check-up and a follow-up just to see where they are so they can find out more about potentially what might be on offer.
So how would you do that then? Just go firstly to your GP and get a referral?
Yes, exactly. Now, we do have some restrictions, unfortunately, now, depending upon if you're in Scotland or Wales, you may need permission from your local health authority to get a referral. So it might be better to see your local ophthalmologist first, and then they would decide if you would be suitable to be seen in our clinic in Oxford, where we'd be particularly interested to talk about the trials if you have the X-linked form or the choroideremia type.
Certainly sounds like exciting times. Professor Robert McLaren, thank you so much for explaining gene therapy to us.
Thank you for listening.
You're listening to RNIB Connect Radio.